Well, I must say I am quite excited about sharing the word this morning, just as I've been spending July over the holiday period and now lately again just really trying to dig into this book of Proverbs and sharing. It's brought such an excitement in my own heart. And I really want to pray and trust with you that for all of us, this will be an amazing time in the word of the Lord. And I know you've received these little journals now, and I want to thank our media team and the designers and everybody that worked hard and to make this possible. And I'd really like it if you could make use of this so that together we journey through the word. Because the idea with this session or this series that we're doing is not just that we look at a portion of scripture and preach on it, but that we all engage with the scripture, perhaps even to a little bit of a deeper level than what we used to. And that we really not just read the scripture, you know, as we would sometimes say for devotions, but study the scripture a bit. Really get sort of under the hood of the scripture, if I can say that. And therefore, this little booklet will be very helpful. It gives you a bit of an overview in the front page of the book of Proverbs and things to look out for. And then it sort of reminds you of some of the key things. And along with that video clip that we have on our Facebook page, please make sure that you sort of refer to those and help you to dig in. And then you'll see every day there's a bit of application and questions you can ask yourself and write down. And please do that and share with one another the great joy that we're getting from the book of Proverbs. So in the spirit of that, what I would like to do is go to Proverbs chapter 2 this morning and actually, as a start, read the whole chapter with you. Is that okay? So if you have any form of the scripture with you, please turn to Proverbs 2. I will be reading the New American Standard. We're not going to have it on the screen. We're just going to read it. Good old-fashioned Bible style. Is everybody okay? So if you're struggling to find Proverbs, then aim for Psalms. And once you've hit the Psalms, turn right. And then you've got the Proverbs. So when you're ready, we're gonna jump right in and just read the whole chapter. Now, this is Tuesday's reading that you're going to be doing. But don't now mark, okay, Tuesday I don't have to read because I've read it in church. Is that okay? If I got your commitment, you'll still read it on Tuesday also. But last week we spoke a bit about Proverbs 1, and today I want to just highlight some things in Proverbs 2. So let's read it. My son, if you will receive my sayings. Now, just let me just remind you of this. This is, we're entering into the portion of the book of Proverbs where this is a father speaking to a son and passing on wisdom tradition to his son. So that's why it starts in this way. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. To leave the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. I want to welcome those that are joining us on YouTube and listening to this message via the radio. It's great to have you with us. The kernel of this portion that we've just read is this idea that wisdom needs to be pursued. That wisdom is only acquired by those that seek wisdom. And I spoke about that a little bit last week, that wisdom is something that you must desire. If I turn your attention to Proverbs 2 verse 4 that we've just read, it says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Wisdom needs to be pursued. But can I tell you, everybody pursues wisdom. We sometimes just frame it in different language. Sometimes people are saying, what is the secret to life? Huh? What must I do and what must I know? What knowledge must I have so that I can live life well and be successful? What can I do to make sure that things go for me and things work out for me? Sometimes people frame it like that. Sometimes in the words of Star Trek, they will say, you know, now the words have suddenly gone out of my mind. I just said it. This brain remind me. Live long and prosper. What must you do to live long and prosper? You know, Spock, live long and prosper. Or in the words of the Hunger Games, they would say, may the odds be ever in your favor. Or in the words of Star Wars, ooh, sorry, let me not get those two confused. Somebody will shoot me. In the words of Star Wars, they will say, may the force be with you. It's all this idea that people are seeking in life to find, what is the key? What is the trick? What is the hidden sort of woven through all of life little thing that if I discover it, then the ball will bounce in my favor. Then things will work out for me. Then life will become easier. And lots of people have written books. Lots of different books are being written about the secret to life. And they use different language, but it's this idea, if we can only find the secret to life. And go back to the Star Wars theme. It's like, if you know the Star Wars movies, there's the Luke Skywalker, young man in the first movies. And he's now growing up in a world where the dark side is starting to take over and make life difficult and make life complicated and everything's starting to fall apart and life is not good. And now as a young man, he's trying to figure out now what must he know and do to be able to become stronger and better so that the light can conquer the darkness. And he ends up by some universal providential event landing on this planet that, now my kids told me, Dagobah, that's the planet's name, Dagobah. And he lands on this like a planet with just life on it, and it's like a marshlands, and now he's lost, and he sits there, and he's like, ooh. But then he meets Yoda, this little green man. Now, I know some of you are getting very concerned this morning in church. I can see the frowns. Now, hopefully it's because you don't know Star Wars that you're frowning at me, but I think there's some that are thinking, what's happening to our pastor? Is he a New Age guy? Is he preaching some strange philosophy? Stick with me. We'll get there. Trust me. Okay. Let me just, trust me. We'll get there. So Luke Skywalker meets with Yoda, and Yoda starts training him in the ways of the Force and how to use the Force and guide the Force and cooperate with the Force so that he could become stronger, and then life will work for him and things will start working out. And that's the whole sort of movie, is about how he works with the Force. He's found the secret to life. Great. Now, the book of Proverbs makes a massive claim. It claims, if you read the book and as we've read now, it claims that if you want to know the secret to life, it's found here in this book. You don't have to go to Yoda. You don't have to go to any other writer. You can find the secret of life in this book. It stands and it proclaims to all men throughout the ages, that if you want wisdom, here it is, right here recorded. Now remember, wisdom has always been a great pursuit of man. If you think, for instance, of the time of the Greeks, the word philosophy is the love of wisdom. Athens, you think of Aristotle and you think of people like Plato and Socrates and others, they were all seeking wisdom. Solomon says, forget about all of that. Here's wisdom. It's to be found here. Says, read this. Look at this. You will find wisdom. Now, if that's true, what should my response be? If here is wisdom, if I have right in my hands the privilege today to say to you, I have the secret of life. Here it is. What is the correct response? I must study it. I must know it. I must get into the nitty-gritty of this, and I must make sure that every jot and tittle of this, of this text, that I imbibe it, that I absorb it, that I know it. Perhaps it's even good that we form groups and we start studying this, and perhaps we even get some people and we pay them and we make them the professionals that will really dig in and be able to tell us this is, no, it's not that, it's this that the scripture is saying. We must study, we must know, we must carry this with us. It must, you know, we must be with our noses in this text. Is that the way to wisdom? Now, yeah. In lies the trick. Wisdom is to be pursued with everything. But there are T's and C's that apply. You know what T's and C's are? Terms and conditions. Yes, this book is the book of wisdom, and if you find it, you will find the way to life. But there's a little disclaimer, little one. Just a little sentence. Don't you like my voice goes, little? You know, I've worked long and hard to be able to do that. It's just this little thing that goes, just, you know. And I know the media guys, they've been using this image of almost wisdom is like a vitamin bottle. And you see it all around the facility. But I don't know if you've noticed, there's this little sentence at the bottom with a little disclaimer, fine print. Can you read what it says there? Wisdom will work. Yes, wisdom. But only effective when used in conjunction with God. Come on. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Let me read what we just read, verse 5 and 6 from chapter 2. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You see, you and I, as believers, must understand what Solomon is communicating to us here is wisdom, but wisdom from God. And that in effect, what he's saying to us, that if you want the wisdom of this book, you must have God, God of this book, with the wisdom of the book. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's a package deal. You can't buy one without the other. You cannot have God without the wisdom, and you cannot have wisdom without God. If you want the wisdom that this book tells us, if you want the secret of life, you must take God as part of the deal. He is the origin of wisdom. Wisdom is to be found in him. Therefore, the idea is that yes, you can study this book, you can know it off by heart, you can discern it correctly, you can understand everything that is written in the book of Proverbs. But if you do not find God, you have not found wisdom. And that's a big thing that we must make certain of as we begin on our journey in this book. That we find God in this book. The title for today's message is Wise God. And it's birthed out of this idea. Remember, we said it last week, and the video clip also said it, that this book of Proverbs is wisdom, but wisdom in a world created by God and held together by God. Not just any old wisdom. That's the disclaimer. This wisdom will only work if it is applied in a context where you believe that God made this world and keeps it together. Those two things I want to quickly talk about and highlight. Our first statement of belief that we must bring to this book is that everything was made by him and for him. And the second statement is that everything is sustained by him. Now let's take a look at the first one quickly. We know from the story of Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth. This is our belief. God created all of this that you see. Everything that we know was created by God, and that we know particularly that he made us also. And Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image. He made us. Now, when God made us, he made us in a particular way for a particular universe. He made us for this universe, this expanse, this creation that he created. I'm not saying there's others. I'm just saying he made us to live in this creation. And this creation was made in a particular way. This creation was made by God for him. Therefore, when God made this universe and gave expression to this universe, when he spoke it into being, he spoke from himself, he spoke this universe. Now, we know that God didn't break himself into little pieces like a pantheistic worldview that says, you know, and that's also the Star Wars worldview, by the way, where the, you know, God is sort of distributed against. No, God created outside of himself, but he spoke into being. But what he spoke into being was consistent with who he is. Who he is. Who is God? God is one, but in three persons. God is this amazing being that he is one. And do not get confused, he is one. But in that one is an amazing love present. There is a preferential relationship that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have in one, where they love and prefer each other so much that they are in complete unity. There's no competition. There's no striving. There's no one more important than the other. There's this mutual submission to each other, this mutual respect, this mutual love, this self-sacrifice for each other. They are bound together as one, and they perfectly love. And you see, when God spoke the universe into being, it was from this love that he spoke the universe. It was his desire to love that motivated this creation. And particularly when it came to you and I, God said, I want to love, and therefore he made us, and he made us with the same relational capacity as he has. That you and I have the ability to love like God loves. We can love self-sacrificially. We can love unconditionally. We can love completely like God can love. That's when he made us and he breathed to us. That's what he gave us. More than any other thing in his creation, we have this ability to love. That love of God was what gave origin to this universe. And it is that love, can I make this connection, on which wisdom is based. You see, this universe, if you want to picture it like this, has God at its center. And God at its center gave rise to everything else. But everything flows from him, from who he is. So this universe only works if God is at the middle of it. If you remove God out of the picture, the universe doesn't work anymore. That's what the scripture tells us. So if you want to live successful in this world, you've got to live consistent with the one who's at the center of the world. Does that make sense to you? So if I want to draw wisdom from Proverbs or any other place, I must understand that that wisdom is an expression of which is found at the center of the universe, which is our God. When God says, do the following, whatever, it is because that's how he made the universe to function. So wisdom is me tying into the one who created this universe, and I start becoming congruous. I work in step with the way he made the universe to function. Then I experience wisdom. But not only did he give rise to the universe, he sustains it. He keeps it going. He's not only the one that's at the center of the universe and from him everything finds its life, but he's engaged in every little particle of the universe and every little being in it. He is engaged with them. He sustains them. Colossians 1, verse 17 says, he existed before anything else and he holds all creation together. Acts 17, 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. What this tells us is that not only must we look back in time and say, God started it all, and he is the reason for life in the creation story, but we must also say he is the reason for life today. That practically, not only did love give rise to the universe, but right now, love is trying to run the universe. God is actively involved with every person on this planet. Trying to love them, trying to bring through to them the fact that I love you. And if I want you to know my love, because if you know my love, then you will be able to live in this universe and you will live well because you will know that I love you. And you will come in line. And that's what wisdom is. It's us coming in line with this idea that God created everything and that he sustains everything. You see, when God created, in the Genesis story, there were two trees that he put in the garden. Can you remember the two trees in Genesis? The one was the tree of life. You can read about it in Genesis 2 verse 9. The tree of life. And God said, of the tree of life you must eat. There's no restriction. Enjoy the tree of life. Eat of the tree of life as much as you want. But then there was a second tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, of this tree you must not eat. Because if you do, you will die. Now these two distinct trees, not only were they in the Garden of Eden, but they became the two streams of life that you read about in the book of Proverbs. Whenever the book of Proverbs says, you must do the following and it will add to your life, that's the tree of life. Whenever the book of Proverbs says, do not do this because it will destroy you, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we must understand the difference between those two, because every day we choose which one we're going to eat from. The tree of life, I don't have time to properly walk through all of this, but if you go to Revelation 2, you see the tree of life in heaven. And it says it's the tree that stands by the river, and it feeds the nations, and it brings healing to the nations. And we commonly understand that to be Jesus. Jesus is the tree of life. So even right there in the Garden of Eden, before everything, God said, you must eat of the tree of life. And doesn't it sound familiar when Jesus comes and he stands before us and he says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Because that's the tree of life. No restriction. We must enjoy the tree of life. But the other tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is also about wisdom. But the difference is where the tree of life says wisdom is only to be found in God, in Jesus. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil says you can decide for yourself what right or wrong is. You don't need God. So if I'm living off the tree of life, I'm saying for me to find wisdom is to know God and to consume God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil says, no, you don't need God. You can find wisdom all on your own. You can discover it for yourself. You can find the secret to life. You can find the trick that will make the ball bounce in your favor. If you're just diligent, if you just read the right things, if you're just educated enough, whatever, if you just pursue it, you will find it on your own. Solomon does something completely different to any other wisdom literature you will find across the ages. He says you cannot find wisdom unless you have a relationship with a person. And this is the key difference. If you want to know the truth and wisdom as it is set out in this book, you must know a person. Jesus came as the restoration of love to this world. Because when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they said they will decide for themselves what is right and wrong from that point on, they broke relationship with God, and this love relationship that was the center of our world and that was keeping everything healthy and going and that was our reason to live, that got twisted and broken. And from there on, we started having to figure out how to live in this world, and we had to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. And therefore, things like the law started becoming important. You had to have a law. And remember in the Old Testament, when they had the law, they would study the law diligently. And to be a righteous man meant that you studied the law every day and you knew every jot and tittle. You knew what it said and you knew that you could walk so far on a Sabbath but not one step further. You could measure and you could know everything that was right and that was wrong. And then Jesus came. And Philippians 2 tells us, it says, and he did not consider equality with God as something to be held onto. But he took on the form of a man and became our servant, even unto death. so that in him we can have a chance to be restored back into the way the universe is supposed to work, here on earth and for eternity. So when Jesus died and he washed away our sins, he said, I want to bring you back into this love relationship where love and God is love is the center of everything. And therefore Jesus said these kind of things. He said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But then he followed that up by saying, I am the truth, the way, and the life. He said to the Pharisees, you diligently study the scriptures, but yet you refuse to come to me. You see, because what the book of Proverbs is telling us, along with all of the rest of scripture, is that to know what is right and wrong, to know what is wisdom, is to know a person, is to have a relationship with God. It is not to be able to discern the text, firstly. So I can take this book. I can study this book. We can spend a month on this book and read and get understanding and understand the words, and we can have lots of good sayings and become really wise people. But if we've not discovered the treasure of this book, which is Jesus, we would have missed it all. This is our joy. That wisdom is the expression of who our Jesus is, of who he is and how he made this world to work. You see, the scripture tells us, for instance, in Matthew 12, verse 42, Jesus said these words to the people of his day. The Queen of Sheba will also stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it. For she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. Then in 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says this, and it's great, go and read 1 Corinthians. We're going to spend some time in that next week. It says this, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. So every time it speaks here about wisdom, Christ is at the center of it, Jesus. So even this Old Testament book, long before Jesus, but long after Jesus, points us to Jesus, to our relationship with him. But not only is Christ the wisdom of God, this is our good news, that Christ dwells in you and me. So wisdom is not something I pursue outside of myself. Wisdom is something I pursue that lives within me. That lives within me. I'm not talking about some new age, you know, divinity. I'm talking about the person of Christ through the manifestation and the working of the Holy Spirit that lives within each and every one of us. Proverbs 2 verse 10 says, for wisdom will enter your heart. You and I have the wisdom of God as a treasure within us. One of my favorite scriptures that was sort of one of the fundamental scriptures to my life in my younger years as I grew up, 1 John 2:27 says this, as for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. You see, it creates for us this idea that the wisdom of God is in the person of Christ, and that wisdom resides within me in Christ. I have the wisdom of God. So when we talk about wisdom, and when we read the scriptures here, we are looking for a person. It is for that reason that Solomon, in his writing, used this very clever poetic instrument, where a father says to a young man, you must pursue wisdom. But then he does a very clever trick to let the young man understand what he means when he says pursue wisdom. He says, wisdom is a woman. Think about that. Think about your dad having a conversation with you. And perhaps particularly if you're young men, you know, the ladies, you can make this work for you differently. But if your dad says to you, my boy, I want you to pursue wisdom, because wisdom is a hot, good-looking girl. How does that differently frame your engagement with wisdom than if your father said to you, no, my son, you must read this book. You must study this book and you will have wisdom. He says, no. because he's trying to elevate and make sure that we capture this idea that wisdom requires this love relationship. And ultimately, it's a love relationship with Jesus, where I look for him in everything. I don't want wisdom. I don't want to live well. I don't want to know the secret of life. I don't want things to be in my favor. I don't want to live long and prosper. I don't want the force to be with me. I don't want the odds to ever be in my favor. I want Jesus. That's what I want. That's my pursuit, is I want Jesus. I want to know him. I want to pursue him as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, Lord. That is my pursuit. I want to love him. And I want to be loved by him. So every day I choose. Am I going to eat the tree of life? Or am I going to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Am I going to come into a love relationship with Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I want you. I want you in my life. And therefore I surrender, I submit, I sacrifice, I enter into that preferential relationship with you, and I say, you first, Lord. Even if in the short term, this wisdom that is you causes me pain and discomfort and seems to work against me, that's okay, because I want you. I'm not in it for the short haul. I'm not in it for the quick buck. I'm in it for eternity, Lord. I want you. I want you, and I want only you, Lord Jesus. You see, so therefore it changes the way we read the scripture. So this week, when tomorrow, if you're going to read Proverbs 1, on Tuesday, Proverbs 2, Wednesday, Proverbs 3, when we read it, we're not just looking for clues, we're looking for Jesus. We're saying, Lord, show me yourself. So it's good when you start reading, pray a prayer like this. Say, Lord, thank you that I can spend this time with you. I ask that you reveal to me yourself through your word. Let me get to know you better, and let me get to know how you made this world to work better so that I can live in step with you. And then when I read it, I remember that the Holy Spirit who gave utterance to these words lives within me, and he guides me in all truth. And so my heart will resonate. It's like Jesus in the pages and Jesus in my heart speaking to one another. And there's a resonance that happens. There's a building that takes place when I read the word. And when I read something that challenges me, I think of Proverbs 15 verse 1. How many of you know what Proverbs 15 1 says? It says, the soft word turns away the wrath. If I read that and I go, oh, you know, whoa, how does that affect the way I drive? How does that affect the way I speak to people that upset me and people that are slow and that just don't, you know, the people that are holding me up and the people that are, you know, perhaps the people that oppose me, the people at work that give me a tough time or my children or my parents, how does that challenge me when I speak to them? Soft word turns away the wrath. Oh, perhaps I've been falling short and... okay, Jesus. You see, but then I can take those words and turn them into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm coming to an end. And say, now, okay, now I know God wants me to speak soft words and not harsh, not bitter, not angry. Okay, so I'm going to try it. Okay, so I take that scripture, I print it out, put it on my mirror, I shave in the morning, I read it, I memorize it, I've got it, I imbibe it, you know, I saw my evil in eat it, you know. Print some paper and just I must make sure. And I speak it to myself all the time. Soft word, soft word, soft word. And I get it. You know, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to do this. That's not how I engage with the scripture. Because Jesus in me and Jesus in the pages, the Logos, I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you showed me how life works the best. And I want to live that, Lord. And thank you that I've got in me the spirit of patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that I ask you to come and work in me and work in me that will grow and develop in me, that I can be a soft word that turns away the wrath, that I can display you to people. I'm not disciplining myself merely. Now, there's discipline elements, understand that, but it's a different place that it comes from. Does that make sense to you? Then I am engaging with the scripture, body, soul, spirit, in every way that I can. Must I study the scripture? Yes. But not merely study. Find Jesus. And that's why I'm excited, and that's why I'm looking forward in this journey. And I've actually jumped ahead a little bit because I'm so excited, I can't wait. And just because I want to find more of Jesus. And I encourage you to do that. But this morning, as I finish this message, I just felt the Lord saying, we must choose the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life with love at the center of everything that says, this is the universe and how it works is God is love. Or another universe where we are battling with each other about what is right and what is wrong. Can I tell you, just give me a moment, just can I say this? We see a picture of this ability to love and love between people in a marriage, for instance, husbands and wives. You know, the scripture says, if you want to see why Jesus loves the church, look at a husband and a wife. We have this privilege to enter into a relationship with somebody else where we mimic, in a sense, that which is in the Trinity, where we preferentially love each other. And can I tell you, it is that love that makes a marriage work. It is when we love each other with preference for each other, with the serving of each other, that love creates a place where life can happen. That's why it's what God's idea, that it's in that love that children should be born. That when Natasha and I, and man, if you know us, you will know we are two opposites. I cannot say that word long enough. Opposites. You know, she's there on that planet, and I am three galaxies away on another planet. We are so different. It's not our commonality that ties us together. Can I tell you? It's not even order in our house that ties us together. You know, husbands, and I know the guys we've heard, husband's the leader, wife's the helper, you know, that's all great. But can I tell you, what makes a marriage work is not order, it's love. It's that self-sacrificial love that ties us together. Where we say to each other, I just want your best and you want my best. And when that covenant tie, there's something beautiful that takes place. Or you could have a marriage where, yes, we've got the law on the fridge. You must do this and you must do this. And yes, and you tick boxes every day. And tonight we go to bed and we're happy because we've all kept the law. How many of you know that's not a great way to have a relationship? And that's not what Jesus wants with you or me. But we must choose. Do you enter into a love relationship? Yes, there's law in a love relationship. Yes, there's definition. There's right, there's wrong. But it's about a love relationship. Or are you going to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and decide for yourself? And can I tell you what is the end of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is? Death. Because then you spend your whole life trying to figure, is this right? Is this wrong? And then laws, and then people have to kill because you have to keep laws, and people have to die, and it just is a mess. Won't you stand with me? I trust that I've been able to communicate in some way something to you that helps you and makes things, just get you a handle on it, so that if you dive into the scriptures, you've got a little bit of a spade that you can dig with. But this morning, I want to give people opportunity. And perhaps you're here today and you know that you're living off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But today you want to make a switch and you want to say, Lord Jesus, I want my life to be about you. I want to love you and I want to be in a love relationship with you. I don't want to know the secret of life. I want to know you. I've tried so hard to figure it out and I've tried to be right and I've tried to do it all, but I cannot, Lord. I need you. So while we just close our eyes, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for every person here under my voice that is engaging with us in this time. I just pray right now, Father, that we will become aware if we're eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, trying to decide for ourselves. And that we will turn from that and look at this other tree and see the tree of life and desire the tree of life and want the tree of life. I right now release by your Spirit just that hunger, that desire in people's hearts, Lord. We ask you, Jesus, we need you. Forgive us. Forgive us for trying to go at this ourselves. Forgive us for thinking we can do it, we can figure it out. Forgive us for pursuing the secret of life. Today, we choose to pursue you. We make you the object of our affection, of our lives. If today you want to make that decision to say, I want to give my life to Jesus, to stop living for what I think is right and wrong, but to pursue Jesus, can I ask you, just raise your hand, just where you're standing. If you know that you need to make a decision today like that, there's quite a few hands just being raised throughout the auditorium. Praise God for that. Praise you, Jesus. We'd love to pray with you today. This is a big decision. And can I tell you, all of us, that we've made this decision and we've needed the help of other people along the way. This is not a decision that you can just make and carry on with life as usual. This is a big decision. It requires a lot. And we need people so that the Spirit can help us in this process. So I'm going to invite you, if you've raised your hand right now, if you feel God is stirring in your heart, won't you just come right to the front? We're going to have our pastoral team. They're going to meet with you today. And they just want to spend a bit of time with you and just pray with you, love you, encourage you, just make themselves and our church and the resources we have available to help you so that you can know Jesus and know life. Won't you give a round of applause? We've got a number of people just responding at the moment. Just come right to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's more people that's just making their way. We just want to give people on the balcony time. If you're coming to the front, if you're with family, it's a good idea that they take your belongings and just keep them with you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for every one of these beautiful people. Lord, I just pray for them right now for just a meeting with your Spirit today in Jesus' name. That they will know that they know that they know that you love them, Lord. That right now, in their hearts will be birthed an understanding that you love them. That you've only got good things in store for them. That you want to give them life, and life better than they've ever known it, Lord. But you, more than that, you want to give them yourselves. Thank you, Jesus. We love them. We bless them. Thank you for their hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask all of you that are standing in the front, Pastor Amelia's over there, and she's going to lead you, and we're going to just spend a bit of time with you, one-on-one, pray with you. It's not going to take long. It's a couple of minutes. So will you all just follow with her and go that way? Thank you for being with us today in the service. If you want prayer for anything else this morning, then please come to the front. Our team will love to pray with you. If you need prayer, healing in your body, come, let us pray with you and trust God for your healing and just we want to be here and connect with you, so come down and pray with us. Otherwise, enjoy the reading of the Word. We'll be meeting with the business people at 11:45 upstairs, so please make sure you're there. I'll meet you there. And in the minor auditorium, we'll be meeting with the business people at 11:45. So look forward to seeing you there. The Lord bless you. Have a great week.